Friday, August 14th, 1942. Dear Kitty, I've deserted you for an entire month, but so little has happened that I can't find a newsworthy item to relate every single day. The Van Dans arrived on July 13th. We thought they were coming on the 14th, but from the 13th to 16th, the Germans were sending out call-up notices right and left and causing a lot of unrest, so they decided it would be safer to leave a day too early than a day too late. Peter Van Dan arrived at 9:30 in the morning, while we were still at breakfast. Peter's going on 16, a shy, awkward boy whose company won't amount to much. Mr. and Mrs. Van Dan came half an hour later. Much to our amusement, Mrs. Van Dan was carrying a hat box with a large chamber pot inside. "I just don't feel at home without my chamber pot," she exclaimed, and it was the first item to find a permanent place under the divan. Instead of a chamber pot, Mr. Van D was lugging a collapsible tea table under his arm. From the first, we ate our meals together, and after 3 days, it felt as if the seven of us had become one big family. Naturally, the Van Dans had much to tell about the week we'd been away from civilization. We were especially interested in what had happened to our apartment and to Mr. Goldschmidt. Mr. Van Dan filled us in. Monday morning at 9, Mr. Goldschmidt phoned and asked if I could come over. I went straight away and found a very distraught Mr. Goldschmidt. He showed me a note that the Frank family had left behind. As instructed, he was planning to bring the cat to the neighbors, which I agreed was a good idea. He was afraid the house was going to be searched, so we went through all the rooms, straightening up here and there and clearing the breakfast things off the table. Suddenly, I saw a notepad on Mrs. Frank's desk with an address in Maastricht written on it. Even though I knew Mrs. Frank had left it on purpose, I pretended to be surprised and horrified and begged Mr. Goldschmidt to burn this incriminating piece of paper. I swore up and down that I knew nothing about your disappearance, but that the note had given me an idea. "Mr. Goldschmidt," I said, "I bet I know what this address refers to. About 6 months ago, a high-ranking officer came to the office. It seems he and Mr. Frank grew up together. He promised to help Mr. Frank if it was ever necessary. As I recall, he was stationed in Maastricht. I think this officer has kept his word and is somehow planning to help them cross over to Belgium and then to Switzerland. There's no harm in telling this to any friends of the Franks who come asking about them, of course. You don't need to mention the part about Maastricht." And after that, I left. This is the story most of your friends have been told, because I heard it later from several other people. We thought it was extremely funny, but we laughed even harder when Mr. Van Dan told us that certain people have vivid imaginations. For example, one family living on our square claimed they saw all four of us riding by on our bikes early in the morning, and another woman was absolutely positive we'd been loaded into some kind of military vehicle in the middle of the night. Yours, Anne. Friday, August 21st, 1942. Dear Kitty, now our secret annex has truly become secret. Because so many houses are being searched for hidden bicycles, Mr. Kugler thought it would be better to have a bookcase built in front of the entrance to our hiding place. It swings out on its hinges and opens like a door. Mr. Foskell did the carpentry work. Mr. Foskell has been told that the seven of us are in hiding, and he's been most helpful. Now, whenever we want to go downstairs, we have to duck and then jump. After the first 3 days, we were all walking around with bumps on our foreheads from banging our heads against the low doorway. Then Peter cushioned it by nailing a towel stuffed with wood shavings to the doorframe. Let's see if it helps. I'm not doing much schoolwork. I've given myself a vacation until September. Father wants to start tutoring me then, but we have to buy all the books first. There's little change in our lives here. Peter's hair was washed today, but that's nothing special. Mr. Van Dan and I are always at loggerheads with each other. Mama always treats me like a baby, which I can't stand. For the rest, things are going better. I don't think Peter's gotten any nicer. He's an obnoxious boy who lies around on his bed all day, only rousing himself to do a little carpentry work before returning to his nap. What a dope. Mama gave me another one of her dreadful sermons this morning. We take the opposite view of everything. Daddy's a sweetheart. He may get mad at me, but it never lasts longer than 5 minutes. It's a beautiful day outside, nice and hot, and in spite of everything, we make the most of the weather by lounging on the folding bed in the attic. Yours, Anne. Comment added by Anne on September 21st, 1942. Mr. Van Dan has been as nice as pie to me recently. I've said nothing, but have been enjoying it while it lasts.